Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we rejoice on this first Sunday in Lent to hear the historical account of the temptation of Christ and to hear of his victory over Satan. So we know that in the Garden of Eden, our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell to Satan's temptations, and disaster was the consequence. Here we see the second Adam triumphant over the tempter. And like a master, he is able to dismiss each temptation as it comes, the temptation to the belly, the temptation to the eye, the temptation to the pride of life. Each one he is able to parry with the word of God. And then he dismisses Satan. And of course, the devil, at the command of Christ, has to leave. Then angels come and minister unto him. So we are grateful to see this, that the one of our human race is victorious over Satan. And as Christians, we rejoice today in remembering that that same Christ who overcame the devil in the wilderness is the same one who indwells our hearts and who will give us his victory. So he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and in Christ's strength and power we can have triumph over the enemy. So it is a day for rejoicing, a day to be strengthened by the power of his Spirit in the inner man, as we are also in our own time facing temptation. Now, each one of us is tempted to sin in one way or another, and it is quite a battle. When we set out to live the right life, to do that which is according to the law of love, to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself, when we set out on this great pilgrim path to love God in the kingdom of God, we find that we are greatly opposed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is something that is a very, very intense experience at times for us as we fight our Christian warfare against our true enemy, which is not flesh and blood, but which is a spiritual foe, and as we combat against temptation. Temptation to what? Temptation to sin. And what is sin? It is to go against the will of God, which is perfect love. God's will is perfect love, and those who oppose his will, whether in thought, whether in deed, or whether in thought, whether in word, or whether in deed, to oppose God's will is sin. And we're against it. We're against sin. Just so you know, making sure, right? Amen? We're against sin. Amen. Okay. So that is the challenge and the warfare against us. Now, let's take a hypothetical example, and let's kind of think about how we wage our Christian warfare. Now, say there's a woman who, after she visits the doctor, has the understanding that she is pre-diabetic because she has not been paying too close attention to diet, exercise, etc. She's at a point where if she doesn't change up some of her lifestyle, she's going to have to go on insulin. And she's, you know, her health is fragile now. Used to be robust and strong, but now it's not. So she resolves, through prayer, through this new information found, that she's not going to drink soda anymore. She's not going to drink the soda pop, which has all those hidden calories, right? So think about a 16-ounce soda from the fountain. It can have 54 grams of sugar. That translates to 13 teaspoons of sugar. Now, none of us would take 13 sugar packets and empty them into a little spoon and eat 13 spoonloads of sugar in a row. But when it's stirred up into a bubbly drink, it's easy to consume. But she's coming to an awareness of these things. She decided she's not going to do that anymore. And somebody say, well, just drink diet soda. But she can't do that either. It's the aspartame drives her nuts. It messes with her mind or her brain. So she's not going to do that. So she resolved. She's set on the path now. Her new discipline, no sugary drinks. Well, she finds herself in a lunch spot with a friend, and after she goes through the sandwich line, she has her little cup they give her. It's a meal deal, and she turns around, and right in front of her is this beautiful machine, the Coke Freestyle touchscreen. It's got 100 options for soda pop. And all of a sudden, she's in the thick of it. She's going to be wrestling now the world, the flesh, and the devil. So what does that sound like? Well, in the first place, notice that when Jesus is in the wilderness, one of the first things that the enemy does is he tries to get Jesus to forget who he is. And he does that in a very subtle way. He says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, if thou be the Son of God, who has just declared that Jesus is the Son of God? The Father himself from heaven. When the heavens opened and the voice declared, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At the theophany of the baptism of Christ, where the Father spoke from heaven, where the Son stood in the Jordan River, where the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. The Father has declared that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, the enemy, he sneaks that in. If thou be the Son of God, that little seed of doubt, right? He tries to throw him off that, make him question his identity, as it were. In the same way, this woman standing, you know, at the soda machine, which is, for many, it's not a big deal to drink a soda. It's no sin. In her situation, having resolved not to do it, and in the counsels of her own heart, asks God for his help and knows it will damage her health if she will do this. For her, it's a sin. It is a lesser good. It is not hitting the mark of love, to love herself and to obey God in all things, having the knowledge that she has. Well, the enemy will try and throw her off the mark, help her forget where she is in her life, who she is. And so she might have an interior dialogue that is like, oh, it's just one. I'm just gonna drink one. I don't want to, you know, it's embarrassing not to. I mean, I always have a soda. And yes, the repetition of this behavior has been for decades where she's always had a soda. This drink has always been an accompaniment to the meal, especially going out. It's a treat. And she's used to this. I mean, it's not just hundreds of little sips. It's by the tens of thousands of little sips with that those billions of little bubbles tickling the tongue. And she's so used to this pleasure. And she's just going to be, so she begins to think it's just this one, but she's forgetting her situation. She's forgetting who she is. She is no longer a robust 20-year-old. She doesn't have that body anymore. It's fragile now. This can hurt her now. She's in a different place now. The enemy doesn't want her to remember that now. So oftentimes we need to remember who we are, and in temptation, let us not forget that we are children of God, numbered among the elect, who have been called out of this world into the kingdom of heaven, been given the grace of baptism, our nature now changed, where we are regenerated, given a spiritual nature, where we are in communion with God, now on the pilgrim path to heaven. Let us not forget that. The enemy wants you to forget that. Let us not forget that. Jesus did not forget who he was. Let us not forget who we are in Christ. Now, this can strengthen her immediately. There may be a resolve. Nope, can't do it. I'm not who I used to be, and I've already resolved not to. That may be enough that she can just, you know, pass on. But maybe she does forget, and she's still kind of stuck there at this wonderful, beautiful machine. And it's the world is talking to her now, and it's, you know, it just so beautifully ornate. I mean, it looks like a can with the little perspiration, the little droplets of condensation coming off the chili can, and it looks so refreshing. And she looks away from it just for a minute to get a little relief from this, you know, this attractiveness of this thing drawing her. And she looks out the window, and there's a billboard. It's a Sprite ad that says, "Obey your thirst." And she's still kind of stuck there, still, you know, kind of thinking, how am I gonna do this? Now, here in this moment of temptation, notice that we can gain a lot of strength if we begin to ask, okay, who is talking here? In the first rule of discernment in the Ignatian way, the rules of discernment of Ignatius Loyola, He will say that the enemy will tempt us with apparent pleasures. So get us to do things that are not according to God's will, that are sinful, because it will give us some kind of pleasure. And that's what he holds out to us as the lure. That would certainly be at play here while she's, you know, in this moment. The other question is, you know, and that's the question to ask when we're in temptation. Is this God talking, the Holy Spirit talking, or is he the enemy talking, the world, the flesh, and the devil? And I'll tell you that if we ask that question when we're in a decision point, where we're hesitating, where we're not sure to go this way or that way, and we are being pulled in a certain way, and we know that we're being pulled off the mark, let us just ask that simple question. These thoughts I have, is it God the Holy Spirit talking to me, or is it the enemy talking to me? And that can be very clear. And perhaps that would be enough if she were like, you know, what's talking to me right now? Well, it's the beautiful image of the frosty can and this to obey your thirst. And no, this isn't God talking to me. God, I've already resolved with him that I'm not going that direction. This is pulling me in that direction. So another thing that we can be greatly helped by when we're in the middle of temptation is to call upon the Holy Trinity. So we're going to call upon the Holy Spirit, we're going to call upon Jesus, we're going to call upon the Father. So in this moment, she might call upon the Holy Spirit, and in Ignatian spirituality, Ignatius will show us that when a person is being tempted, it's the work of the enemy to draw them with apparent pleasures, but the Holy Spirit will bite their conscience and give them reasons why they should not go in that direction. So while she's there, thinking about, oh, do I really want this? Yes, I do. Her whole formation is that. She might say, God, the Holy Spirit, give me 3 reasons why not to do this. And I'll tell you, if you're being severely tempted, and maybe it's matters more serious, like a board-level decision of whether the profit motive is worth it, even though there is a knowledge that the product may cause human harm, or whether a person is deciding right there whether they're going to betray another person in a business relationship or in a marriage, or whether they're being tempted to be drawn into some kind of criminal behavior, right there in that crux of that decision, we can say, God, the Holy Spirit, show me 3 good reasons why I shouldn't do this or why I should do this. In her instance, why I should not drink the soda pop. And God, the Holy Spirit, is very good at giving you good reasons. He gave you the intelligence. He gave you the gift of reason. He will speak to your reason. What are 3 good reasons for her not to do this? It's her body can't stand the sugar shock of 54 grams of sugar. 13 teaspoons mixed up in soda water is not going to be good for her. She knows that. She knows that. It's reasonable not to do this because of that. It's reasonable. She might think, too, that, I've already made a promise to myself not to do this. I'll be breaking covenant with myself. Right? There's a big deal there. If you're going to make any progress in the life of virtue, you have to be true to yourself. You have to stop betraying yourself. She might think, you know, I've already told my friend who was before in the line that I'm not drinking soda, and if I fill this soda cup up, I'm going to have to be kind of furtive about it, you know, like pretend it's not soda or something, or I've already told her. So 3 good reasons, just like that, come right to mind. And that is our help. So remember that. We can call on God the Holy Spirit. We can also call on Christ. He is our captain of salvation. He is the one that overcame the tempter. He is the one who indwells us. If we shoot an arrow prayer up, we may be tempted here at this level, but if we go vertical and ask God, Jesus, help me. I'm in trouble here. I'm stuck. I need your help. Does he deliver? Yes, he does deliver. Oftentimes, if we look back in retrospect on our sinful decisions, we'll see that Christ was nowhere in the picture. We had just forgotten about him. So to remember him in the moment, to call upon his assistance, right? Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. and he will grant you his power. There is a gift here that he will give. And so again, if she were quick to that, like, almost getting a soda, Jesus help me. Oh, never mind. It can be that quick. And then there's the Holy Spirit that she called upon. Three good reasons. Call upon Jesus, his strength and power in the moment. And then she can call upon the Father. Now listen to these words from St. Paul in his first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 13. He says, these words for the ages, these are words for all Christians. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Now I know that some of you are sorely tempted. Guess what? You're not alone. And what you're being tempted by is common, right? It's not just you. And so that's comforting to us to know that others are in the same situation. They too are in a crucible where they are being tested. We're not the only ones. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He'll make a way of escape. So when we're in that decision point, when we feel like we're being pressed on every side to do that which is against God's will, which is perfect love, somewhere in that whole context is a way of escape. There is a way now to obey God. And so there could be several ways, actually maybe more than one way to escape in this moment. Maybe she looks over to her friend and she walks over there and says, I'm just being really tempted to drink soda. Can you say a prayer for me? Even mentioning it out loud is going to diffuse the tempter's power. Right? He doesn't stick around when two or three start praying in Jesus' name. Or if she's still there at the machine going like, maybe she sees the touch screen and it's got the 100 options, and before she's thinking about how to put vanilla syrup in the cola, she looks at that thing and there it is. Her mind is drawn as she's asking, you know, show me a way of escape. And this is the prayer. If you're sorely tempted, say, Father, show me the way of escape. How do I get out of here? He'll show you. So she's looking at the screen. There's all these options. And there in the corner, her eye is drawn to a little blue circle, says water. There is a way out. She takes it. All is well. Is it a sin to drink a soda? No, this is not a temperance sermon. For this woman, she's in the counsels of her own quiet heart in prayer, she's resolved against it. For her, yeah, it's a lesser good. And so may God give us his grace, his strength, to remember who we are in times of temptation and to call upon God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit to be with us, that we may come into a place where we do indeed obey his gracious will and strengthened in the life of perfect love, walk this pilgrim path in joy to the everlasting joys of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.